Welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode number 97, the show where we talk about the Linux operating system. Actually, I don't talk about it. Somebody does talk about it on the show, and I ask a bunch of silly slash stupid questions. It's my job here. But the guy who does bring the goods and talk about Linux is the Linux Maven co-host, Door-to-Door Geek, Steve McLaughlin from DoorToDoorGeek.com. What's up, Door?
Hey, man. Honestly, no. I call what you do is keep me honest, because you ask me questions that me as a person, I can't fumble my way through. So it's obvious when I really didn't research something and I just think it's cool or I actually know something.
Yeah, I have asked a couple questions that kind of figured that out. Yeah, good point. But for the most part, you have good answers.
Well, I honestly try to do some level of research on everything. Some of it is very thin level of research, and some of it is, like, you know, moderately deep.
Acceptable.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'll try to get a zinger in there today. I'll try to ask you some tough questions.
Oh, jeez, okay.
So what's been going on with you before we start? Anything exciting?
Well, yeah, I'm going to put it like this. Okay, I'm going to purposely remap space and time, okay?
No, I don't understand.
I know, because I said that really stupidly. what I mean is, I'm going to take basically the last 2 weeks and I'm going to rearrange them in time order. Okay. I'm going to start with the lowest to the highest kind of point. I will say, to a degree, my wife often says I'm too honest, and she's not talking to me right now, but I love her dearly. Okay. 2 weeks ago, my dad found out he had cancer. To which, when I asked him what kind of cancer, he replied, "I don't know. I can't." It was a long word. I can't repeat it. And then I asked him, you know, well, how bad is it? It ain't bad. Okay, well, what's going to be done about it? They're going to do stuff about it. So I literally had to contact his doctor to get the information on it. And he has a little bit of skin cancer. So it's not, it really isn't that bad.
Okay.
Wow. But it's cancer.
I didn't know that.
I know. This past weekend, my mother-in-law's basically best friend of her life called up her house and said, "Hey, I think I just had a heart attack." To which my mother-in-law said, "Why are you calling me? Call up an ambulance." She didn't. She flagged her sister or her daughter over, who is my sister-in-law, and told her, "Call an ambulance. Julia just had a heart attack." Bang. Ambulance goes to the house. Both them got on the phone with her on different extensions and told her, "You're getting the ambulance right now." She went and had a triple bypass surgery.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was 2 days ago. She's still in and out of consciousness, but the doctor says she's, for what happened, she's doing fantastic.
Wow. All right, we're just like an up, or is this going up?
It's towards, going up.
Okay.
Okay. This is when it rains, it pours kind of thing. This is the roller coaster that's been going on.
Totally.
Okay. Then I had a bacon cheeseburger. So right now we're in the middle.
From where?
From the whole story. We're in the middle. This is the good part. You know,
no, and where'd you get the bacon cheeseburger?
Actually, I got it from a place called Checkers, which basically should be called Greasers.
I know Checkers. They're down here, too.
Man, good friends.
I never had Checkers, though. It's just pure grease balls. Oh,
basically, yes.
And it's good?
Good for my taste buds, not good for my overall health. It's kind of ironic with the other stuff. But, okay. Now I'll say I am absolutely floored by the output and the generosity of people on Kickstarter. And by that, I don't mean the people on Kickstarter. I mean the people who contributed or pledged toward my campaign. I'll use the politically correct words. People who offered to give me money. I set the goal of $500. We launched it live on the show last week, Steve.
Yeah.
24 hours later, I think we were at my goal. 48 hours later, or 24 hours after that point, then we were at $1,000. It's now a full week almost to the minute here, Steve. And I'm at $1,970-something.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
The generosity is just,
well,
very cool.
And Cody Cooper has dinged me like 80 times saying, you know, Steve, I really don't like saying it, but I told you so. Because he kept saying, you're going to easily go over 1,000, Thor, easily, and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he was right. It's a great idea, man. I mean, it's really impressive.
Yeah, and I owe people shout-outs. I'm going to wait till after the Kickstarter's done, mm-hmm. so I have everything organized nice and neat. Right now, the guys out there, anybody who did even a dollar, really, you are just as important. And the people who couldn't pledge, but were able to do tweets and retweets and Google Pluses, are in some cases as important. You know, getting the word out is just as important as pledging, in my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I really want to thank those guys. You think that's the end, right, Steve? Right?
Yes, I thought so.
No. Nope. There's say yes.
But there's more.
But there's more. This show is brought to you by the Z-Man, John Z. He has, for months, dinged me every now and then with questions and stuff. And he's always been beyond nice. He basically started a thing. Okay. Other people,
top secret thing.
Well, yeah, things behind my back. And people who contributed one way or another, either way contributed, include Ellis Clark Kent Owens, Sherwin Info Lookup, John Newstetter, Your Honorable Steve Tribino, Vairi, V-R-A-I, Vairi. Neil Byer Brown, Hector's a good guy. Matthew Neo Dragon, really good guy. Jonathan Nadeau, you guys already know about him. And John humbly put his name in the middle of the list. It's too humble, man. Sean Johnsoni, Cody Cooper, Timster. Timster's one of the nicest guys, period. Bert, Josh, Chuck, Tom, Jeff Owens, and Jason Benoit. These guys basically got together behind my back, schemed, plotted, redesigned their plot, plotted some more, redesigned their plot again. Yesterday when I came home, there was a box sitting in front of my house, and I got a envelope looking like this on it, with big writing on the back saying, do not open until you get a big box in the mail. They came on the same day. Okay, so they couldn't have planned that any better. And what it is they basically put their money together before the Kickstarter even happened, and because they kind of knew I had a failing computer, and my next best computer was a P4 with 256 megs of RAM. And they, I don't even know all the specs yet, okay? It's a custom-built box with a brand-new top-of-the-line Asus motherboard in it with some kind of weird Star Trek-like BIOS that I've never seen before.
I saw your video. That thing is wild. I want one of them.
I don't even know what it is. Basically, I can't look at it because we're podcasting, but I want to play in that BIOS alone. 128-gigabyte SSD drive, 16-gigabyte of RAM. I don't even know what else. All I know is the thing boots in like 5 seconds.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And here's the gimmick. Jonathan had Frostbite Media. He already had direct relationships with distributors. So he knew where to go, what to get, kind of thing. So Jonathan was, as far as I know, the brainchild behind the final outcome. So Jonathan said he basically is not owed any thanks at all, but I know Jonathan, you know, looking forward to shake his hand at OLF. So those guys, period, everything I do from now on is honestly dedicated to those guys. If something happens, they're going to have to pull this computer from my cold, dead hands. Okay. That's bottom line.
That's amazing. I know they've been planning it for a while, and it's nice that you included me in the list of thanks there, but I'm telling you, Dor, and I told you this before.
I know.
Well, I did absolutely nothing on that machine.
Right, well, this letter is going to be framed, number one. If your name is in the list, I would be doing John Zim a disservice by not saying your name.
Okay. But that was all those guys. They spent a lot of time, and they planned and plotted and kept it a secret. And they did an amazing job. I didn't even know the specs were that good. But that's killer that they did that. And I'm happy to see that you got that machine, man. I'm jealous of you now. I want one like that.
Well, and then Steve, do you think that's the end of the story?
No.
No, it's not. So yesterday I came home, opened the box, opened the letter. Bam, there's the computer. Today, I have to come straight to the house, drop my wife off so she can take her van to go work out. I got to go pick up the kids, do all this stuff. I pull it in front of the house, and I see a box that looks almost the same dimensions as the box from yesterday. And I don't know what it is. And I just figure she got something for her birthday. It's coming up, you know. Because I told her, you know, anything you want to get it, make yourself happy kind of thing. And first thing come out of her mouth is, what did you buy this time? I didn't buy nothing, I swear. Come up to the house. I bring the box in the house. I look on the side of the box, and it says Kevin McLaughlin. And for those of you who don't know, Kevin McLaughlin, officially no relation to me, but come on, there's some relation. My family's 13 generations in this country, so I'm sure there's some kind of relation there. He's down south. He is the horsepower, I say, behind the Android Buffet podcast. He actively internet speak kind of screams it in people's faces that you need to come and you need to listen to Android Buffet because it's a good show. You know, Guru and Jerry, good combo, good back and forth. And Kevin does everything in his power to make sure people know about that show. He is appreciative of me going on the show whenever Guru asked me, you know, Steve, anybody asked me to be on a show, I'm on a show. There's no hesitation. Well, and every time I would see a tweet from Kevin for the show, I would always retweet it because, you know, this whole internet thing, we're supposed to be friends. So Guru's a good guy, so I always retweet his stuff. Kevin said he wanted to show me thanks because he's asked me a couple questions here and there, and I've answered them in typical fashion, which is like three paragraphs for every question. And he said he wanted to show me thanks. So he sent me a computer in the mail. So I don't need a computer now at all. So this Kickstarter thing is not for a computer.
Well, who knows? You might get another one tomorrow.
Dude,
if
the trend
keeps up.
I'm afraid to go to work tomorrow. I told my wife I'm honestly tempted to like go out front and change the numbers on the house. Because I don't know what's going to show up tomorrow. You know, it's nuts. I got to say, directly because of all those guys, now, as soon as I get my desk from the Kickstarter money, this desk right here is going up on the main floor, and my 7-year-old and my wife will now have a quote unquote family computer.
Sweet.
Which they didn't have before. They had my Dell M1210, Stephen. We all know.
Oh my God.
How good that thing was.
I always wanted one of them in its defense, but that was like 4 years ago.
Oh, no. Steve, that was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, maybe.
it for the time was fantastic. It's slowly withering away. My wife has been very patient with me. Very patient with me with that device. So I really do want to show her thanks. Bottom line, sure. I want to show her thanks because I do this 5 nights a week. i.e. she puts up with a lot of stuff. Granted, she's upstairs watching some bridezilla or bride something, so I wouldn't be there anyway. But bottom line, people who I contacted said they did this in appreciation for all the people I've helped over the, I figured out now, Steve, 350 plus podcast.
Wow.
And for doing it time after time and not being selfish like we are for the first 20 minutes of this cast. And I got to tell them, you can say that, but let me tell you something right now. I am going to work my fingers to the bone until they bleed, until I have carpal tunnel syndrome, helping anyone that asks for help. Bottom line. And to anybody who has asked me for help, and I have, and you have not heard back from me for a day or two after I said I'd look something up, that means it slipped through the cracks. Because, for instance, today alone, I had over 100 total emails. Some of them business related, some of them from myself, from my other email address that I forward, but at least 50 of them are actual emails from people. Wow. So
that's amazing. plus, Dor, I think people would just want you to keep entertaining. You know what I mean? Help is one thing, but keep doing shows, because that's what helps people too. I mean, it's not like, it doesn't have to be direct one-on-one. You do good shows every week, so just keep doing them.
Right. And to me, that's the utterly ironic part, Steve. Okay. The guys that are all quote unquote active, you know what I mean? The Ellises, the Timsters, the Knucklehead Techs, the John Newsteaders, all those guys, they're the active guys. Those were guys that knew of each other and were able to contact each other. Okay. The Kickstarter is mostly guys I've never heard from before.
Wow.
And that's, to me, the really shocking thing. Now, I will say, Dan from ACRBO, I've heard of him before. Guys like Jerry on Google Plus, who is the Android guru, as far as I'm concerned. Huh. He was another guy. So, you know, I've seen everything in the last week, 2 weeks. Everything.
It's quite an experience, man. It's got to be a freaking thrill.
Yeah, it is. And to be honest, let's start talking about stuff so people have a reason to go back to the Kickstarter. I don't know.
Yes, guys. Hey, we had to talk about that. I know it took a little bit of time, but we had to talk about that because it was talk worthy, appropriate.
Right. Well, and I'm going to throw this out there to the live people. Tuesday nights, tonight, it's slightly after 9 we started.
Typically, I forgot to post the link into the podnuts.com/live. So I'll do that now while you continue talking. Sorry.
Okay. We started a little bit late tonight. So, sorry, but usually it is Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, podnuts.com/live. I honestly want to do something for somebody, because, you know, people just keep doing stuff for me. Anybody who wants, because I remember I had 2 Raspberry Pis. I gave one to Harrison. He has it. He either needs or just got a USB micro cable, which I didn't know he needed, or I would have sent him one. So I still have one left. Okay. Basically, the next person that contributes anything to the Kickstarter and says, can I have a Raspberry Pi? Now, granted, I'll ask you for more than $1 or $2, because it's going to cost me $5 to ship this thing. You'll have the Raspberry Pi in the mail tomorrow.
Wow.
And I will post on my Twitter and G Plus as soon as I can once that comes in. So check there first. If the only reason you're doing this is for the Pi, I don't want you to feel, you know, gypped or ripped.
The generosity is just a-flowing.
That's nothing, Steve. then by that, I mean, just wait. Okay, we're going to get into stuff. And the first honest-to-goodness news of the day. And Steve, you ready for this one?
Yes.
You're going to be floored.
Apple pie. Apple with Retina display?
No.
Wait, before we go on, I just want to say, because I talked about it on last show, but I didn't talk about it on this show, you now have just about enough money from the Kickstarter to buy an Apple MacBook Pro with Retina display. So everybody who donated on Kickstarter, Dor thanks you for letting him have enough now to buy a MacBook, right? Is that what you're going to get with the money?
Are you going to OLF?
Yes.
Because I'm going to give you a shot, like, right in the back of your knee. Okay?
I had to do it.
Yeah, I do.
Sorry, man. At least you didn't hang up like you did on Android App Addicts.
Well, that's because it's only us. I don't want to do
that. All right. Had to do it. Had to be done.
Okay. The first bit of news for this evening is maybe the most shocking news I've ever brought to this podcast.
What?
I'm
going to the notes?
It just got in the notes, okay? One of the most proprietary companies through the years, i.e. long term, is taking what could be one of their future biggest money-making applications, and it's now open source.
Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, Skype, Microsoft.
Skype goes open source.
Microsoft released Skype to open source. Oh, wait, sorry. They accidentally released a server. They accidentally had a hole in a server that now all the Skype source code's in the open. So wait, maybe they didn't release it. Maybe it escaped.
What?
Yeah, it, basically, all of the source code for Skype has been leaked. And
leaked
I'm sure
purposely.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind they didn't do this on purpose. It wouldn't shock me if someone on the inside might have had something to do with it. There is no way this was a corporate plan. No.
So it's not going open source. It's just
no.
Leaked. But oh, okay.
I just wanted to see how many listeners to the cast could freak out.
You know what I thought of when you said that, though? I thought in my mind, all right, Microsoft doesn't want to do any work for Skype, so they open source it. That's what I was thinking, but this is different.
Right. And here's the thing. I believe I read, but I couldn't find the link. They've already been able to look at the code and see and validate the back doors put in for governments to access encrypted data.
Really?
Yeah. So before it was, can you trust it? Now Microsoft has it. Now it's official. If you need to do anything securely, don't use Skype. Okay, period. If you need to do anything regarding a large amount of money, a transaction, you know, you want to do a major investment thing, don't use Skype, because there's a backdoor in it to where the government can listen, but you don't know what individual might have also stumbled across this back hole.
Yeah.
Good point.
Good point.
Yeah. So if you want to know more about it, it's over at posted by, I picked this guy's post specifically because he said Skype goes open source, by Alien Nesby over at joindiaspora.com. Diaspora is a thing. I ain't going into that. There will be links in the show notes for that one. Absolutely. If you yourself want to look at the source code, I just thought that was hysterical.
That was neat.
Yeah. The next thing I had in the notes, I actually reversed because I skipped it by accident. We were talking months ago, Steve, about taking the Raspberry Pi, putting it in your car as a computer. Okay. A, it would have taken elbow grease. B, it would have probably taken soldering to do it right. Three, at least right now, it would have still taken research to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And D, you might have caught your car on fire. And I do realize I went like A, 2, B, and D.
I thought so, but I didn't want to say anything.
I know. I once did it as a joke when I was younger. Now I just instinctively can't stop doing it. So if you really desire to have yourself a true in-car computer, A, you don't have your hands on a Pi, B, you don't even know what equipment to get with it, and finally, you don't want to set your car on fire. There's this It's this online store called Vic. It is shop.vic-ltd.com. Here's one distributor, at least I found, and to me they had the best price versus end product. This is a huge block. It's like the size of what a real big GPS device would be. Solid block that fits in your dash, and it is a true in-dash computer.
Well, what OS does it run?
It is running a customized version of Ubuntu 10.10, and the part that's customized is the interface. So they're not using true Unity. They're not using GNOME 2. They're using something different. And I will say, at least on the pictures I saw, looks ultra functional.
Looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I will say it does have built into it a HSDPA modem, which is one of those cell carriers. So you technically could get it activated through AT&T or whatever.
Wow.
It also has a broadband TV built into it, actual radio, GPS, and built-in software and maps.
Sure.
So if you really desire that complete in-dash system of a real computer, it has a Intel Celeron M processor, 250 gigabyte hard drive, 2 gigs of DDR, GPS, 3G HDMI. And I want to say, when I looked at the detailed specs, the hard drive is ruggedized purposely for the vibration and the bounces. They actually put a little bit of detail into how that worked.
Nice.
So that was good.
How much is it?
In euros, 415 euros, which I believe translates to roughly $500.
Yeah, I think so.
Which spec-wise is a little bit much if you just look at the specs. But if you
this is a specialty device.
Right. If you look at it, all in the case, nice and neat. The front display of it, to me, looks very sharp, very nice. I would say this is a desirable component for someone who has like a big birthday coming up, like their 40th, or my 40th is gone. So,
is it gone?
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah. So, cool. They actually really do have true in-dash computers now.
And it looks like they did it well. It's well done. They did a good job on this one.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Flexible and cool. Okay. Let me mark that Skype off. Forgot. Okay. The next one I really wanted to talk up, it's partially to give credit to 5150.
Now, where are you posting these links? Are anywhere, or you have them just on your own there?
I am putting them in podnuts.com/live chat, which should equate to twitch.tv/podnuts chat.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
I'll go there.
Okay, I was scared. But I am going to also reverse put them in the notes. I guess I should put them there first, shouldn't I?
No problem.
Kind of upset. Okay. I don't want to try to say I told you so, unlike Cody Cooper, who did it quite well as well. But I really honestly, truly believe there is a wave coming. We've already entered the beginning of that wave. And the idea of ultra portable, and I don't mean like ultra books, I mean like calculator is ultra portable. Okay. You could take a calculator skydiving very easily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really do believe these ultra mobile computers are only going to become more popular and more numerous
and more powerful.
Oh yeah. And more powerful. Right now, I do believe they're most of them are on the verge of powerful enough. What I mean by that is some browsing might be slow. Doing Flash might be slow. Other things are almost really respectable. So they're going to get better as soon as they get a little bit popularity. There's this link over at IT World, which I think is a big site in the UK, maybe. Could be wrong, but I'm going to say it's popular in the UK because I'm not in the UK. there's a link called 2 more tiny Linux PCs each cost less than $100. Okay. They do talk about the fact that these already exist. The Raspberry Pi, that's what I got. There's the Cotton Candy, the expensive, quote-unquote, thumb drive computer that's really powerful, like $200. The Melee, which is one of those thumb drive shaped and sized computers. No, this is actually like a separate box. Then there's the MK820, which is the 802, I'm sorry, MK802, which is the worst name ever. This is the thumb drive one, the low end thumb drive, which is like $70. Well, now there's more. Okay. The one is called the Oval Elephant.
That one looks pretty nice.
Well, it looks to me like it could be nice, or it could just be economically built. You know what I mean? I can't tell the difference. I will say it looks almost sleek.
It's like monolithic.
Exactly, like 2010 or 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see the chimp in the background or something. but it is more rectangle than a thumb drive. And what I mean is depth is the same. Height is the same if you're holding it up. It's just like twice as wide as a thumb drive. It does look like it has all your quote-unquote standard ports and sockets on it, including of the obvious one is standard USB, micro SD, power, USB, another USB 2.0, mini USB, I believe a mic, and a analog audio. And it looks like it comes in almost like a switchblade-esque case where you can like whip it out. Sounds dirty. That one's $72. The specs on it, same processor as most of the other devices. There are a lot of them are using the all-winter A10, 1 gigahertz Cortex A8, which remember I said A10 A8, what the hell is it?
Yeah.
That one. This one has 1 gigabyte of RAM, 4 gigabytes of NAND flash, same video processor as most of the lower ones, wireless BGN, it also has a micro TF, which I don't know what the hell that is. It's a slot. Full HDMI, yada, yada, yada. I do believe, yeah, this one comes default with Android 4.0 on it. Ice cream sandwich. Jelly bean. Ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, it's ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, and that looks to me like a really good device. Now, the second one is called the Mini X, and if you go to Little Putin, which I really like a lot, this is the one that I believe 5150 showed me, okay? This one is really small. And what I mean by that is perfect for the top of your TV small. It's like three USB ports wide.
My gosh, so like, small.
Yeah, it's like five USB ports, quote-unquote, deep. And it's the height of a USB port, just a hair more. And it has a little antenna on it.
That's crazy. I love this thing.
Well, and it comes with a remote control, like a, I think it's an IR. I don't know what kind. There's two different types. And this one has a full remote, good buttons on it, doesn't look uncommonly cheap. It looks like it could be decent on it. And it does have real buttons specifically designed for Android, it looks like. I think I see a menu button and a back button and a search button. If I look at it right.
On the remote?
Yeah. Up by the top. And it has red, green, yellow, and blue buttons, which I believe are like this specifically designed for the media experience. I've read a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this device to me could be very family friendly, spousal approval. This one is made by the same company that does the MK802.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you go to Minland Tech, I believe. Oh, no, it's MINIAND.com.
Okay.
That's the actual site of the company that has these things right now for sale. You can get, you know,
And this thing is $100.
I know.
Not bad.
Honestly, it might technically be a little bit more than what the hardware says it should be, but it's in a nice package. And that remote, I think, looks very usable. That remote to me is at least a $25 remote for a computer. You know?
Yeah, that's, I'd pay $100 for this thing. And it comes in three colors.
I know. But of course, the red sold out because everybody likes red, I bet. I guess. I don't know. And I believe this
one. And the MK802s are they're on the same page.
Yes. This is the one that's basically about a thumb drive and a half wide. And yeah. And these are also running Android 4.0.
Wow. They're so small. These guys are really doing it right. These are cool devices.
Yeah. And I think this is the one where I read the review and the guy said, and it comes with the Google Market. He noted, I don't think this is really Google approved, but I'm not going to complain about it. Which, of course, who would?
Right.
You know, you're getting that. You don't have to hack it on. You're good. Roll with it. So, yeah, that was two computers. And I only believe this is going to become more proper. It's going to come to a point, Steve, I'm just going to have to stop talking about them. Because there's going to be too many coming out every week.
I agree.
This next one, I know I've hyped up a couple times and I've said it's coming any second now. Valve's the creators of Steam. Let me get that right. It's now utterly ridiculously guarantee confirmed they are working on it. There's two reasons why. Valve is actively recruiting some of the top Linux talent in the nation, kind of thing.
Really?
Well, I don't think they're hiring them to make a Windows port better. Just a guess. And number two, if you Google, it's called Steamed Penguins, okay? But there's no E. It's STEAM apostrophe D. I can't even say it right.
But what are you looking at here?
It's the second link there, Steamed Penguins. It's Valve's official blog for everything Linux related.
Oh, neat. Steamed Penguins.
Yeah, which I gotta say, that's that there might be one of the best names ever.
Yeah.
For a company and a blog. So honestly, I hate saying it like this, but I am actually okay. I might be a hypocrite versus an old show. Because now I have a computer that actually can do stuff. I'm a little excited for these games, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's gonna get spoiled, Dor.
I'm going to try to not make it affect my production, I'll say. Yeah, so, and they did also say on their blog itself that the first game is already lined up, and the first game is going to be Left 4 Dead 2, and it's going to be on Ubuntu. They actually give justification why Ubuntu. I think part of the biggest part of that reason is because Ubuntu has the Ubuntu Software Center, which basically other operating systems or distros do not have a quote-unquote software center. They have a package manager that they basically said, oh, so-and-so created this package manager. Let's just use that one. Okay, cool. So the actual distribution does not control that package manager.
I see.
Ubuntu created the Ubuntu Software Center, so they control it completely. So that's why I believe that they are, you know, using that one.
I see.
Any reason, I don't care as long as it's coming. If I have to tell somebody, well, yeah, you can use Linux to play your games, I'm not going to be sad to say, but you have to use Ubuntu.
Right.
I'm not, because at least they're on Linux.
Right, exactly.
So that makes me actually very happy.
Very cool.
Yeah. And I And oh, that's what I wanted to say. William Tidwell. Okay, here's a perfect example of a guy I actually like, but I really like to rib. Okay, he's a really good guy. Him, Steve D, Eric Sauce, Mitch, all those guys, really good guys. Liam, because I always want to call him William, Liam pointed out to me on Twitter that, hey, Dor, your Kickstarter seems to be doing really good. You really need to make it a goal to get a really top-notch video card in that computer you're going to get to make sure you can showcase games, because he said it absolutely right. What new users to Linux want to be reassured of is that they actually can play their games. Me saying they can play their games is really only, you know, I can tell them the moon's made of cheese too. You know what I mean? But if I have a video card in my system that I can actually show them screen captures of games like Venn over at Linux Gamecast, it makes it more tangible, more realistic, more possible. And then he followed up with, just ask Eric Sauce. Eric is one of those guys I really do like because he has immense passion about anything. Anything he talks about, he's really passionate about. And he's the guy who really wants and really works hard to figure out how he can get the absolute best performance for his games that he's running in Linux, like Skyrim. Like a week after it was out, he was running it on Linux.
Really?
Yeah, and he was relaying tips to me on, you know, things he was happy about, how he figured out, I'm doing this, now I'm getting 5 more frames per second. Oh, I'm doing this, now I'm getting 8, you know, and he was really happy about it. So I am going to make it a objective to be able to do at least recordings of a video game, not during the show, but off show hours, then talk about them and link to them on the show and then let people look at them on their own.
Nice. Yeah. Proof.
Well, and honestly, I am going to bow to Eric Sauce because everything's better with a little sauce, number one. But number two, he has experience in this. I don't. I have no problem saying I don't know. Where should I start? What game should I try first, Eric? Talk to me. You know? So I'm going to look for him to give me a little insight on how to do this.
Sweet.
Okay, we go from
maybe he can come on a show if he wants to.
Oh, I don't know. We can keep him clean enough for the show. I'm sure we can. He's a good guy. As long as we don't have Chris Barquat, I think his name is. we can't have him on. Okay. So we're going from some uplifting happy news to something that you're going to look at and everybody's going to look at as being horrible news. Okay. Scary news per se. Okay. Everybody, and by everybody, I mean everybody on the face of the planet, has been saying, oh my God, there's this web exploit that figures out what OS you're running, and then it customizes the payload and delivers a payload on your computer. So
what's a payload?
A payload is, there's a exploit, there's a tool that exploits the exploit, and then it usually connects to the internet, pulls down a quote-unquote payload, which is the actual end goal. You know what I mean?
Like the virus?
Like the virus, or the Trojan, or the botnet, or whatever, or the rootkit, or keep going.
You know? The thing that it wants to get on your machine.
Yeah, the real end goal in the thing. Like, you know, yes, I want to score a touchdown, but that's not the payload. The payload is, I want the Super Bowl trophy. You know?
Gotcha.
Okay. A, number one, I couldn't find the link and I'm really mad. I heard two podcasts of which they're not going to lie about this, okay? This is not new. This is actually about 10-year-old code, okay? And this is a Java exploit. And I will quote Azimuth from Kernel Panic Oddcast, who I do take as being one of the most well-spoken, and by that I mean direct guys there is. He doesn't sugarcoat crap. And he said, guys, it's Java. Everybody's known for years. Java's like Swiss cheese. There's holes all through it. And he's right. if you look at Windows, the number one attack vector right now, the number one most exploited thing on Windows is Java.
Really?
That's how they get on your system. Outdated Java, old Java, or zero-day exploits on Java. This is a Java exploit.
Okay? Sun must be proud.
Well, you know, I'm not going to go there. And I will say that this might be true. This might be horrible. This might be in the wild. Guess what? Ain't nothing I'm running getting infected. I don't install Java. I don't have a reason to install Java. I don't can't think of a reason to install Java anymore. I'm sure somebody has a reason. Number one. Number two, there is zero doubt in my mind if this is tomorrow starting to be exploited 3 to 4 hours after it's discovered it's going to be exploited, there will already be a patch written. 3 to 4 hours after that, it will hit its first repository where there you can get an update to get it. And by 24 hours to 48 hours, it will be in every major distribution's repository. So,
okay.
Not, and to be honest, that is a cold, hard fact. Unlike Windows that can go, has gone weeks and months, and dare I say, yes, a couple times, years with exploits. So I really could care less about this. Just because a piece of Java can determine what operating system I'm on and can connect to the internet and download something does not mean we all have to run for the hills and start screaming the sky is falling.
All right. Granted, so it's not a scare.
It isn't. But honestly, it is good to get out there. It is good to talk about. It is good that other people know what is possible. You know, that I got to say. So I really do thank like the 8 people that sent me links to this saying, oh, Steve or Thor, what's this? Guys, take it easy, man. Come on. We can all get along.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it's like more like what the media likes to do. Just try to shock us a little bit.
Well, and I hate saying it. I don't want to say I don't believe a lot of the major sites out there, but I will say a lot of major sites out there are their only end goal is clicks.
Mm-hmm.
By any means necessary.
Right.
To quote Malcolm X, by any means necessary. Okay. This next link, Steve, I honestly found, Lifehacker. I will say I week by week fall in and out of love with Lifehacker because it seems like they have a little stint where, man, they have some really good postings. And then they have like a month where I don't want to click a single link I see from like Lifehacker. The only thing I can think is, you know, maybe Winston Gordon was on vacation in the Orient because it seems like when he's around, I at least see moderate Linux postings. I first off have to say this is not the end all be all. This is a dang good starting point, people. If you are at all new to Linux, and by that I mean even if you've used it for a full year and you might start thinking, you know, I'm feeling comfortable, I'm knowing some of this stuff, this is actually a good variety is the word I'm looking for of listings of app. There's a over at Lifehacker, it's called Lifehacker Pack for Linux, our list of the best Linux applications.
This is pretty cool.
It
is. Looks pretty good.
But I will say the very first app in the list in productivity is GNOME Duo. Utter failing. Okay. That app is horrible in comparison to Colfer. I'm not going to go into it. Okay. I'll go into it a little bit. Colfer has the ability to do everything I know GNOME Duo can do, except for the stupid, and I say it's stupid because I don't like it, the bar at the bottom where you hover an icon, it gets all big. And then you take the mouse off and it gets all small. And then you put the mouse on and it gets all big. I don't like that. To me, that's taking up valuable real estate. I don't want it there.
Right.
Colfer can interactively, dynamically link into applications. So I can launch Colfer by hitting Control and Space, start typing, a Google search, a local search for a file on my computer, a Firefox or Google Chrome bookmark, a contact in my email client, a contact or conversation in my Pigeon client, a connection in my FileZilla client, a application name that I want installed, or all that stuff, and automatically have it done from the Culver interface. I digress. If you want to know more, send me a link. I'll send you a good link. But other applications in this list that are really notable is the application auto key. It took me over a year to find this application, and when I did, I really did breathe a sigh of relief. This is the closest thing I can describe. This is, in Windows, you have macros, the old macro viruses. You know, what they really were was a script that had the ability to automate either Windows commands or keystrokes and menu commands. So I can, in the application, say, hit the Windows key, and the Windows key would activate. You know what I mean? Auto key can do that for Linux. So if you want to do something repetitive in the GUI without actually doing it over and over again, auto key is your best friend. Okay. By far. Okay, quick side rant again. In this list, you go down a little bit and you see Thunderbird. Okay. Thunderbird has put a, at least temporary, it's indeterminate how long it's going to be, it could be forever, ceasing on application development for Thunderbird. It's Mozilla, they're the backers of it. And people keep saying Thunderbird's dead. And Kevin, I'm not picking on you, Kevin Adair, Geeksters, I'm not picking on you because I love you. A lot of Linux podcasts are saying, it's dead, it's dead, it's dead, it's dead, it's dead. No, it's not, okay? Here's the reason why. First off, there's going to be security updates. But second off, Steve, I want to ask you a serious question. Irregardless of if you've used a mail client like, I don't know, Outlook Express or anything else, when can you remember was the last advancement in email technology where you said to yourself, man, I can't wait till they come out with that next version?
Good point. You almost don't want them to touch it.
Thank you. I want something stable with my email. Email itself is utterly archaic way of communicating. Okay. Number one, I like it. I use it. Okay. So that's neither here nor there. The last iteration with anything email related that I know of is IMAP. And that's at least 5 years ago. Okay. You have all these craptastic applications trying to integrate everything else into it, whether it be calendaring, even feed readers into your email client, for God's sake. I want my email client to do email.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm going to start using Thunderbird because now I can rely on it being stable.
And okay? No one's going to touch it.
And no one's going to touch it. And they are going to put out security updates, and the plugins architecture like Firefox still exist, which means if people still like it, they're still going to update. Well, A, they're not going to have to update their add-ons, but they can make new ones and they don't have to worry about Mozilla changing versions every 2 weeks.
That's a good point, man.
Honestly, it's just the way I feel. So now Thunderbird for the win. And there is a calendaring add-on you can get called Lightning. So if you really want Thunder and Lightning, email and calendaring, you can have it in one interface with that add-on. Okay. But seriously, people, that was only two apps out of at least 20 that really do deserve at least a talking about to a new Linux user. Just the last mention, Crash Plan. Remote offsite backup to another computer you own or your friend owns or your family member owns for free. Encrypted.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Scott still needs to use it. I don't care what he says.
Scott Moulton?
Yeah, that was like a year ago.
He tried all of them. I remember that episode.
Dude, from the sounds of it, he didn't try them. He blasted them, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
He hit them with the best
stress
he got.
Test them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Steve. The next thing I honestly want to talk about is almost what I just talked about, which I know I shouldn't be repetitive. It might sound like I'm insane because, you know, okay. The definition of insanity is you keep doing the same thing over and over again, but you expect a different result. Okay. I talked about automate, which is the Linux macro like tool that can do a lot of cool stuff without
auto key.
Was it auto key? See that quick, Steve. Sure. I'm going to go with auto key.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there's another application that is a Ubuntu specific. So if you're not running Ubuntu, fast forward a minute and a half. This one's called Cuttlefish, which is a horrid name. Okay. I don't ever want to cuddle a fish. That's just me. Okay. This is very much a GUI interface where you can define events and actions. Hey, Jerry Mancuso, you listening? Doesn't it sound a lot like Tasker for Ubuntu? It's like they took what people use and like on Android and they reverse put it on here. Here's the example. Okay. My Bluetooth comes within range of this computer and it can automatically unlock itself.
Wow.
Or can automatically send a shutdown signal to my son's computer upstairs. or, you know, something like that. This is a very much action to an event system. So I am going to play with it only because it's almost completely different than anything I've seen on Linux before.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah. So to me, that is ultra cool.
Cuttlefish.
Yeah. Let me just take a quick here, real quick. This one I want to talk about, Steve. Okay. I found this one the other day, and I like the idea of it. I'm not going to lie, Steve, because you mentioned the recording your weight thing. Okay. How every day you want to record a little something.
Okay.
Okay, good. Because I thought my Google Hangout dropped out. I thought it was by myself. Okay. We all come to a time where we really do need to record something. Whether it be, when did I get this headache and how did it happen? Which, if you listen to the Android app, actually, you already have a fix for that. Or you want to record your weight every day, or you want to record what you eat every day, or you want to record anything. It doesn't matter. I don't want something that is hard coded towards my specific task. I always want something a little bit flexible. And this to me looks like super light and really flexible. By that, there's not a lot of text boxes. And by that, I mean, there's only one big text box. You put in there whatever the hell you want. It's called Journal. All one word, day journal. Day journal.
This looks very cool. I love the simplicity of this.
Right. And that's to me. I'm almost at a stage now where I do not want a application. I don't want to use an application that to me, it seems like its goal is to almost distract me from its real end goal.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. Over like too many bells and whistles, overcomplicating it, and you just get lost in it.
Yeah. If I don't
It's called bloat. Yeah. Basically.
If I don't need a spinner and a slide bar that has fancy animations on it, don't put it in there. Okay. And this one, it's quite simple. You launch it, it defaults to today's date on a calendar. It looks like a month calendar. Imagine that. To the left, there's a big ass text box where you type in whatever you want to type in. And if you want to look at yesterday's date, you click on yesterday's date. It's that easy. So
it's even easier than Google Calendar.
Yes. Now, if I could only sync the two, which I guarantee if you can't, you will soon. Somebody will figure out a way to do it.
I like this.
Yeah. And I will say, there is no doubt in my mind, there is a way to do some linking back because there is this really cool thing, and I'll definitely get linked to this. And I mentioned it months ago, but I also forgot about it, called Google CL. Google CL is a command line interface to nearly everything Google. And what I mean by that is you can upload documents to Google Drive. You can upload new calendar appointments to your Google Calendar. You can download sets of mail based on labels via this, and it's all command line driven. Which means if you don't use the command line, then you're not going to use this app. And if you don't want to do any discovery on how to use this app in the command line, you're not going to use this app, which means you're going to have to find somebody else who did it and hope they documented it.
It's called Google CL?
Google CL. I literally just put in the code.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. It's all command line, so it's just text, nothing else. But you can also automatically like download contact list. I mean, it really is virtually anything Google related, except for Google Plus. But you know, that's the way they are.
They got to keep something.
Yeah.
Themselves.
To be honest, the last one I wanted to just bring up real quick because, you know, tonight's really weird cast. Okay. It seems like, I hate saying this, this ain't the right one. That ain't the right link, Steve. I had this crazy link. Oh, I posted it. You know where I posted it, Steve?
No.
Podlist.com/forums. Why? That's where the cool kids hang out. At least that's what they tell me. Okay, there is a page on, I'm trying to remember where it was at. Reasons to run Ubuntu, that was it. Okay, Ask Ubuntu. Surprise, it's about Ubuntu, and it's called askubuntu.com. Genius. Somebody basically posted the question, what lenses are there available for Ubuntu? And you know, Steve, we have spent our fair amount of time covering lenses. And even though every time we talk about it, it's literally like, you know, 10, 20 seconds at the most, you know.
Yeah.
You can look at Wikipedia. You can translate languages. You know, you can torrent something. But this to me seems like the ultimate list. And if you don't, if you stopped using Ubuntu because of Unity, don't follow this link. I've already had like three people ask me in so many words, what the hell is your problem, Dor? I just separated myself from this and I don't want to go back and use it. And I looked at this link and I'm reaching for the ISO file right now. You know? They have, of course, a Ask Ubuntu lens to where you can load up your Ubuntu, which you've already in. You hit the menu. You hit the super key. At the bottom, there's a little icon for Ask Ubuntu. You click it, and then you start typing Firefox. And you start seeing Ask Ubuntu web postings related to Firefox.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Are these legit? I mean, well, that's a pretty big site. I mean, high Alexa rank. So there's lots of... Oh, yeah, the questions are just like, as we speak, there's questions being posted.
Oh, yeah. And they have, dare I say, because now it's quote unquote dead, a dig-like rating system on the answers people give. Uh-huh. So the more people that push it up, the higher it is literally in the page.
I see. Okay?
So, of course, Ask Ubuntu is number one. Number two, Dash-based calculator, which they do say it's currently in testing, but you simply type in a math equation in your search box and you get the answer to your question. Google Books, which if you don't know what Google Books is, you won't care about this one. If you do know what Google Books is, you're going to fall in love with that one. Ubuntu Cities Scope, very interesting mapping data. You just type in a city information. Unity Music Lens, right there.
What are you reading? What are you reading, Dor?
I'm just scrolling down the page. There.
Ask Ubuntu?
Yeah. And the link I put in the, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Sorry.
Gotcha.
And then there's the one I like, which I think you might like, Music. Basically, it dynamically indexes in the background efficiently, unlike Windows, all of your audio files. So You just type that, you start typing your band, your song, your album, whatever.
It's all there.
And it's all right there in front of your face. And literally, I'm stopping at that one, Steve, because the next one's not politically correct.
It's all blurred out as well.
As it should be. And there's literally, I'm going to start. And now each entry is almost like a page width, like page down. There's at least 30 page downs.
Neat.
Here. So really.
Lots of lenses.
Yeah. So if you don't like Unity, don't go to that link.
It's a shame. I mean, some people, I mean, I don't know what, why don't some people like Unity? It's just too clunky.
To be honest, I will agree with John Neustetter wholeheartedly now, because now I really don't understand what he's saying. If you have the hardware to really support it, it actually runs pretty good. Before I got these computers, it ran like complete crap in compared to anything else I ran. You know, because I had P4s and, you know,
yeah,
Pentium D's stuff, and it really ran horribly slow. I would hit the Windows key, and I would sometimes have to wait like 2 seconds for the lens interface to pop up. And that really did drive me bonkers.
Yeah. Because these, I mean, the more I see lenses, the more I see that they could be useful.
Yeah. And I think it's the people who are out there creating them who have the honest to goodness ability to make Ubuntu popular, dare I say.
Very cool.
Yeah. And I've got to throw this out before we come to anything else, Steve. I don't know if I said this completely in the last episode. I am, quote unquote, accepted to talk at OLF. It looks like I am going to be on their teaching track, which is going to be immediately after their paid class of how to install Linux. And it's paid class partially because you get a laptop. Okay. It looks like I'm going to be right after that. And I will say, I really want to, I don't know, I don't want to commit to anything. I really want to make that class something really special for a random person in that room with me. But I don't want to commit to anything because I don't know, but I would like to. And
a random person or somebody you already picked out?
No, I haven't picked him out. Just someone random that day.
You're going to get like a stripper or something?
Thinking, no. Or? Jeez, Steve. Okay. I now I have to say more just so people know it's not a stripper. Because honestly, Steve, I do almost expect there also to be a younger crowd in there.
Yeah.
Stripper.
I'm sorry, man.
No, you're not. And no, they're not getting a, I don't want to say it, MacBook display, Retina, whatever, okay? I really, really controlled myself right there, people. Let me just tell you that right now. Because if you're family friendly, there's certain stuff you shouldn't say that's not a cuss word still, okay? There's more to being family friendly than just not saying the explicit words.
He's talking about Apple guy.
Well, yeah.
Not the stripper.
Well, yeah. No, no. And there's multiple casts I listen to that don't have the explicit tag. Yet they say stuff I do not want my child to hear. They imply enough that makes them wrong.
Yeah.
And when I email them, they just ignore me. I will say I would really, really, really like to be able to give out a piece of hardware that I don't know how many people would even be able to see and touch before OLF. I know. I'm not going to know for sure probably till OLF. So don't ask me early, anybody. I will say it might, if you have a good vision, it might be obvious if you see me at OLF whether or not this too could come to fruition.
You just created a nice little mystery there. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know.
But that's cool.
Honestly,
I'm into it.
Ellis knows about it.
Well, that's a hint right there.
Well, because Ellis is the man. I mean, he's the hacker cracker guy. He likes to just break everything. And two other people know about it, which one of them said, "You're an idiot. Keep it if you get it." But
a Galaxy Note 2?
Dude, let me tell you something. If I get a note, that thing ain't going nowhere, okay? That thing's going to stay right on my hip.
They're $199 at Walmart.
I know, but I don't care, Steve. Okay, this is the only hint I'm going to give, which is going to give nobody any information at all, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
I would happily give up bacon for 9 months for this thing. And that's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
And I know that helped nobody because it wasn't supposed to.
I don't know what it is still. But I'm intrigued, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. And I love bacon, people.
If that doesn't make somebody want to go to this your talk, I don't know what does.
Well, and that's the thing. I really don't want people to be there just because they think they're getting something. Because if you are there because you want something, I guarantee you, you're not going to get this. When I say wow. random, I don't mean random. I mean someone deserving.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they all got to be good or at least pretend.
Well, no, not good even. Seriously.
I know what you mean, man.
And Steve, you're a dear friend. There's no way in hell you're going to get it. Just to let you know that. A, because come on, how good would that look? Hey, yeah, my best friend. Hey, how you doing?
That'd be like me winning like all your Raspberry Pi contests.
Thank you. Oh, the hate mail. Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. Teve Sherbino won this week.
That's funny. Well, we got an email, a voicemail. Are we ready for that?
I hope so.
All right. I have it on my phone in a nice little rigged up way, and I think we'll be able to hear this. Here we go.
This is Jeff in Grants Pass, and this is a message for both Linux for the Rest of Us and Android App Addicts. If you haven't heard already, there's a cool Kickstarter project for a product called Ouya, O-U-Y-A. It's a Tegra 3-based board for television, but it is a game station, and they fully support hacking it, rooting it, and doing all your own interesting stuff on it. Apparently also comes with documented hardware solder points for adding equipment as well. $99 on Kickstarter for the box and one controller, $30 for another controller, supports Bluetooth controls, SD card, USB, Wi-Fi. It just looks like all sorts of goodness. So I'm in for one, and I think a lot of other people should be as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Very cool. Now, we did talk about this on AAA, but what does he mean by game station? What does it play?
Okay, well, it really is, in every sense of the word, a video game console, like an Xbox or a Nintendo Wii or whatever, PlayStation 3. It really is a console. The difference is you're not locked into buying this proprietary disc format. You're not locked into only being able to connect to the Sony PS3 store or whatever to buy your software. It's a console that is basically open-ended. You have your hardware, you have your controller, you have your box, you have your connection to the internet, you have your connection to the TV. You will have on it Android access. So you will be able to play, your kid will be able to play Angry Birds. And, you know,
yeah, I was going to say, what kind of games do you play? Like Android games.
Well, starting off Android games, but there is no reason why, let's just say hypothetically, you couldn't play On Live, which is an Android application that plays much more modern and popular games that are really computer based. Okay. Number one. Number two, Steam comes to Linux like it pretty much is coming to Linux. They actually might be able to also integrate that client into here too. Okay. Three, NVIDIA is manufacturing a cloud-based gaming network, kind of like OnLive, to where you'll be able to play games where you need almost no hardware on your end to run. So you could run that as well. D, it's going to be hackable to where you can install other operating systems on it. So if you see a Linux game you really like, you could dual boot this device to Arch Linux or Fedora or Solus OS or Red Hat or whatever. Of course, not Red Hat, because game support can't be there. But then you could run that game as well. I will say you have to pledge $99, because right now the $95 slot is closed. The $99 slot is open. with 80,000 openings in it. 47,000 of those slots are filled. So I'm sorry, are open. So you do have room to get in there.
How much money did they raise?
They asked for $950,000. They have 22 days left to go, and they are up to $5 million. Now, I will say, I've heard two people out there say, two people that from everything they say, they have absolutely no life experience in any of this, okay, have said there is no way this is going to work. They're going to need to do another Kickstarter to raise another $20 million to make this thing possible. They're going to need 10 times the amount of money to do this. And these people who I've heard say this have never been in the industry of making and distributing custom hardware. So I don't know how believable they are. I will say the two people who started this, one of them is one of the leading hardware designers in the industry from at least like 6-7 years ago. So they understand a lot of this.
I see. Wow.
Yeah. And I will say it is not even planned to be out till March, 2013.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's called Ouya.
Yeah. Because it's pronounced like Booya minus the B. It's O-U-Y-A. If you basically go to Kickstarter and search Android console, it pops right up.
Okay.
Very and cool. I will say, if it was my birthday, I would have asked the wife for this, and then she would have said that's stupid, and I couldn't have. But I will say, I am trying to talk the guys over at Droid Nation into maybe we could pitch in, and maybe we could get one, and then next March give it away.
Sweet.
I think it, I honestly think if it does come to fruition, there's going to be the look what I got factor. You know what I mean? You want to be able to say to your, to the Jones next door, hey, Bob, look what I got.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Have you seen this? It's magnificent. I can run Netflix on it too. You know, it's going to be one of those devices where you're going to be, you are going to want to show it off to people
because
it's Android. I mean, you can play Grand Theft Auto on it if you want. NBA cool. Jams. I mean,
we'll see how that turns out.
I know.
Thank you, Jeff, for Grant's Pass for sending the voicemail. What were you going to say, dude?
No, and I honestly got to put there, I will happily wait until next April or May to when, if these things do come to fruition, they're in the store. My mama, God rest her soul, she taught me one thing, and that's patience. So, you know, it's not like I'm suffering from high blood pressure because I don't have my $99 into the Ouya. I'm a very patient guy.
You are?
Oh yeah. The only thing I have is patience.
I don't know if you could. I don't know if you could teach that to me. That's not something teachable.
I can give you maybe some methamphetamines, but that's about it.
Thanks, man.
Well, I don't want to say you have to not care, but to a certain degree, gotta not care.
Yeah, good. I could see that. Good advice. All right, man. We got one more email here. Email. This is an email, not a voicemail. And it goes something like this. This is the thing Zach sent you. I'm going to just read this. Is that cool?
Yes.
Zach says, Steve, enjoyed preview of videos on Ubuntu. I have 12.04 and notice when I try to download software through Software Center, sometimes all I get is waiting and it seems to take a long time to begin to download if it ever begins. I have a fairly fast connection through cable modem. Can you explain why this may be happening? Thanks from Zach.
Yeah, and I will tell you this. Too many people out there are too patient, Steve. Like that tie back. Too many people out there almost put up with stuff, okay? Well, that's just what it does. It's, you know, it's taking like 10 seconds. Well, that's just what it does. No, that's not just what it does. Okay. This is Linux. Number one, anything that's not doing something you don't explicitly agree with and like, there's a way to change it. Okay. And I told Zach, if he's newer to Linux, very newer. I told him, to be honest, Zach, if you keep these kind of questions up, you do know you're going to get a free membership to my next Linux video, because these are the kind of questions that lead to videos. Golden content. I mean, golden videos. Really golden pieces of nuggets. That sounded disgusting. Okay. I will have basically my entire response in the note, okay? In the note, sir, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the gimmick. A couple issues are going on here. One, by default, everybody who installs Ubuntu is pointing towards the exact same DNS name to get every update in existence. That's not good. Okay, we have a federated thing of servers. You know what I mean? If you want, you can open up Ubuntu Software Center, go to Edit, Repositories, and select Fastest Server. It will do a dynamic test that could take a minute to 5 minutes, and it will literally ping and do a quick transit test between something like 50 servers, and it will then select what is the current active fastest server. The good thing about that is when you do it, the next time you run that thing, you could be much quicker. The bad thing is that server then might lose resources, and then you might have to do this again in like a month or 2 months.
I got you.
The better solution is if I want to download something really big, I use Download Them All in Firefox because it has the ability to make multiple connections to the server and literally start 5 downloads at a time. Okay. So literally, that server might say, oh, I'm only going to allow a maximum connection of, you know, two the megs per each second. So if I only have one stream going to them downloading, I'm only going to download at 2 megs a second. I have 35 megs down. Another application will then utilize, you know, 20 megs of that, and I'll literally download it 10 times faster. Same thing can be done with the back end of Ubuntu Software Center, which is actually sudo apt-get. Okay. Our friend over at modifyubuntu.com, Bazinga. Oh, I just lost a whole bunch of credibility in my own eyes for saying that. He had the only accurate and clear and simple apt fast installation. Okay. If you go there, you can find out in 3 lines with not a lot of flubbub, hubbub, how to install apt-fast. Apt-fast is technically a replacement for apt-get, okay? Apt-fast treats it like a torrent. It creates multiple connections, and it downloads things up to, they say, 26 times faster. I'll say 5 times faster because I want to be realistic here. Then, if you do what's called aliasing, you alias apt-get, so every time any application calls the apt-get command, it's actually going to run apt fast.
Wow.
So you can basically, because it's open and free, lie to every program and make them believe they're running apt get when they're actually running apt fast.
Wow.
Thus, he did this and he said he saw instant success.
Really?
Yeah. He said it seemed to work right away.
Awesome, man. Another person helped.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing was, he said, you know, I got a great internet connection and I got a really good computer. What's going on here? Well, what's going on here is everything will fail at the weakest point. You know what I mean? Security researchers always say, you know, it doesn't matter how good your total security system is. It matters what your weakest point is.
Right. Good point.
Whenever you're doing something on computing, it doesn't matter how powerful anything is. It matters.
Oh, we lost Door.
I just got dropped.
Because his Google Hangout said, are you still there? And he didn't hit yes, I bet.
And I'm coming back to Steve. And
it always happens right near the end. Here he is.
Sorry about that, Steve.
You still there? Is that what Google said?
Yeah, I literally saw it as the screen disappeared. Okay. So I literally stopped talking right when I should have stopped talking. Okay. So it doesn't matter how fast your computer is. It matters what's the bottleneck. Where is the ultimate slowdown? Where's the easiest place for stuff to slow down? Well, it's on something you don't control. It's on the servers on the other side.
Right.
So with this, you basically circumnavigate any fake limit put on their end to how fast stuff can be done.
It's brilliant.
I like it a lot.
Well, very cool. And if you have questions for Door, where can people find you and ask you, Door?
The easiest place by far is just door2doorgeek.com. There's you can keep up with the stuff I'm doing, all the podcasts I'm doing, any announcements like the Kickstarter announcements. And as soon as I can, I'm going to start posting video of things that are being improved in my studio, like Kevin McLaughlin sending me the computer, and Ellis and John and Sean and Neo Dragon, all those guys also sending me the computer.
They're going to get a kick out of that. That's a great idea. We all want to see videos.
Yeah. No doubt in my mind, it's just one of those things. Good times, because, you know, the stuff that's going to happen here is going to happen quick. You know what I mean?
That's apparently the way to do it, man. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I just got to convince the wife. Pay no attention to that stuff I'm carrying in the door. Just watch Pride shows, please. In the nicest way possible, because I love my wife.
Thank you for saying that publicly on YouTube. Yeah,
just in case she listens to it. No, she knows I love her dearly.
I think we all know that she knows. Whatever. Anyway.
Dude, if she doesn't know, then she's not only deaf, but she's mute too or something.
If anybody wants to send an email to the show, send it to mail@podnuts.com or send it straight to door2doorgeek.com. It's up to you. If you want to send us a voicemail like Jeff did, just call 7076-PODNUT on a phone. Just dial that number and we will get you. Go straight to voicemail and we'll play it on the show. And any last comments for the folks, Door, before we leave?
I do want to say to everybody out there running a Debian-based system, especially in Ubuntu, it's easier. You honestly owe it to yourself to look at doing that apt-fast and the alias of apt-get. There's little doubt in my mind. I don't want to say it's going to feel like a new computer. You will. You know, most time, oh, it's going to cause a marginal improvement.
Yeah.
No, you're going to notice the improvement if you do that.
And you're going to put it'll be in the show notes, that your little instructional to Zach?
It'll be in the show notes that Paul will make look good.
Yeah, Paul's the master. Mm-hmm. The master of the show notes. And they're coming out faster now. He's putting them out before I even release the shows.
I know. So. I honestly think he's doing the thing where he's going to YouTube.
Yeah.
And he's downloading and transcoding the audio.
Really?
I honestly think he is. Because as soon as this show is done, YouTube automatically publishes the link. You can use an app like YouTube DL on Linux to where you can in one step download and only save it as MP3.
Wow. That's wild. Well, we appreciate Paul, as always, for doing the notes. And he does them for both shows, and it's much, much appreciated. All right. That is going to be it, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the show. That's it for Linux for the rest of us for this week. See you next time.